Sunny this afternoon, temperatures in the 30s. Cloudy tonight, lows in the low to mid-20s. Currently, it's sunny and 34 degrees. Gloria Minot will have headlines at 1:55. Stay tuned now for Taking Action with Danielle Del Pelego. I'm Askia Muhammad. Thank you for listening to WPFW Washington.
If you want to change your situation, you better
join an organization.
If you want to change your situation, you better
join an organization.
Now, if you want to change your situation, you better
join an organization.
Yeah. If you want to change your situation, you better
join an organization.
Check it. Hey, the story of America is labor. If you don't know the truth, lies will enslave ya. Beware of aristocratic behavior. You proletariat flavor and tell your neighbor. Hey, I think the boss is up to no good. Hey, hey, the boss is up to no good. Hey, 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 the boss is no damn good. Hey, 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 it's time to organize. Hey, 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 it's time to organize. Hey, 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 it's time to organize. Hey, 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 time to organize. Hey, 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 it's time to organize. If you're working more for less, throw your hands up. Making ends meet like that is damn tough. You deserve a reward for your time on the grind, shining grime off of other people's dime. Now, it's a lot of work to save a pretty penny. With the system's ugly at the nitty gritty. The American dream is a pity. Most people live and die in a class, country to city. We try to get ahead, but they take advantage. The big shots have a ball, but we can barely manage. And since they all got loot, they do damage that shoots me out the neighborhood that I was raised in. It's amazing, nothing is sacred. The greedy will take it, it's best we face it. Coming together to assure the basic. Before there's none left by the rich who wasted. Now, hey, the story of America is labor. If you don't know the truth, lies will enslave ya. Beware of aristocratic behavior. You proletariat flavor and tell your neighbor. Hey, I think the boss is up to no good. Hey, hey, the boss is up to no good. Hey, 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 the boss is no damn good. Hey, 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 it's time to organize. 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 They like to celebrate coming on the Mayflower. We hollered we want the same and they became sour. Tighten their brains, then increase the hours. When we complained hours, they devoured. And so we had to lean on one another. Became closer as sisters and brothers. United by culture, and we discovered those without could even wean on a different mother. Yeah. The more we communicated, the more we interacted, the more the consciousness elevated. We conquered every obstacle set before us. Demanded our rights from those who would ignore us. And now they want to play us like the old school. But since we ain't new to the pain, we ain't no fool. The things they can do can be so cruel. You better stay on your game and know the Trojan rule. Hey, the story of America is labor. If you don't know the truth, lies will enslave ya. Beware of aristocratic behavior. You proletariat flavor and tell your neighbor. Hey, I think the boss is up to no good. Hey, hey, the boss is up to no good. Hey, 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 the boss is no damn good. Hey, 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 it's time to organize. 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 Hey, 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 hey.
Good afternoon, Washington, D.C., and folks from around the country. I recently received some good news that we've got listeners in places we didn't even expect, so we thank people for tuning in. You've tuned in to Taking Action here on WPFW 89.3 FM. My name is Daniel Del Pelego. Every Tuesday at 1 p.m., Taking Action will be bringing information and action to you about fighting displacement in our city, saving our schools and communities, standing up for justice, building our power, and holding government officials accountable. We welcome your feedback and show ideas. You can email us at takingactiondc@gmail.com or call us at Empower DC at 202-234-9119. As always, our opening music is by local hip-hop artist Head Rock off the Empower DC project, which is available for free to download online. Just Google the Empower DC project by Head Rock. That opening song is very fitting today, as we will be talking about the annual MLK Peace March. We're joined in studio by Keith Silver, who's the co-chair for the Peace Walk. Keith is going to let us know a little bit about the history of the MLK Peace Walk that happens, what its goals are, how folks can get involved. Keith himself is an activist organizer here in the district who's done a lot to make the city a lot better for communities of color and working communities. So, Keith, thank you so much for joining us today.
Good morning. Good morning. Hi, Daniel. Thank you so much for this opportunity to come before your listening audience. And I want to thank our WPFW staff, our engineer Mike and all, for the tremendous job you guys do here taking action to apprise our great city of news and information in and about Washington, D.C. area. Thank you.
Great, great. And Keith, before we get started, I actually wanted just to bring something up, because we always do try to inform our audience about crucial issues here in the District of Columbia. And there's something before we get into the meat of the show that I wanted to bring up to folks. As folks know, you know, if you stepped outside or even if you stuck your hand out the window today, you know how cold it is. And there's some alarming news, you know, that's come across my radar. I'm sure a lot of folks know, but we definitely want to lift this up. I'm quoting from an article that came out in the city paper. The author or the reporter is named Sarah Ann Hughes, but she reports that there are 251 homeless families being sheltered at the New York Avenue Northeast Day Inn and another motel. Now, there's also 230 families living at the at DC General. So that's over 500 families, not individuals, families who are currently homeless. And as Mike, our engineer, pointed out earlier, that's just the folks we know about. So there's many other folks out there who are not, you know, who don't have a warm place to rest their head. The other alarming issue, which ties into this, is an article came out about this report that happens annually. It's it says on December 11th, the U.S. Conference of Mayors released its 32nd annual report on hunger and homelessness. The report covers 25 American cities. And 71% of these cities said their number for requests for emergency food assistance has increased. Now, guess who is one of those cities? It's Washington, D.C. Right. 18.5% of Washington, D.C.'s population is living below the poverty line. Officials in D.C., according to the Conference of Mayors, estimate that their request for emergency food assistance increased by 56% over the past year. And 30% of those requests, almost one-third, went unmet. So what's happening here in our city is that we have hungry people, we have homeless people. And what's alarming to me is, you know, we just have a new mayor who was sworn in this month. And from, you know, one of the biggest things I heard she was trying to do was to get an Olympic bid here, to get the Olympics to come here. That would have caused more homelessness that wouldn't have dealt with this problem. So I think that's crucial for folks to know. There are many opportunities coming up for folks to voice their opinion. I see, if you see that mayor on the street or wherever, I suggest you bring up this issue. The oversight hearings are coming up at the city council, which she had a hand in. You know, she's coming from the Ward 4 council seat. So we definitely encourage folks to speak up about this, to say that this is something that needs to end. The priority should be ending homelessness, ending hunger here in the nation's capital, and not, you know, doing everything we can to bring in the Olympics, which luckily D.C. lost that bid. But with that said, you know, I think that frames the discussion we're about to have pretty well when we're talking about a man who did a lot to fight against these issues, right? To fight for poor people, to fight for people of color. And he is honored, at least here in the district, through the MLK Peace March. So, Keith, before we get into the history of it, let's just give the folks the details of the event, when it's taking place, what time, where should folks meet?
Okay, thank you, Daniel. On Monday, January 19th, which is the third Monday of January, the designated holiday for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we will be celebrating with our annual Martin Luther King Peace Walk and parade. This year is significant because this is actually the first year that we've combined both events, and it promises to be a great, great occasion for this city.
Great.
Now, go ahead, sir.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, if folks have questions or comments as we move through the conversation, please feel free to give us a call, 202-588-0893. Go ahead, Keith.
Well, I was about to say, we have somewhat just, it's not too complex, but it's a complex schedule because we have two different constituencies. We're going to have the Peace Walk contingent and also the parade contingent. So for those nonprofits and groups that want to participate in the Peace Walk, they are to assemble on the grounds of the United Black Fund at 2500 Martin Luther King Avenue, across the street from the Anacostia train station, in the area which is effectively called in-house as the Grassy Knoll area, that grassy area to
That's
the
right.
Left of United Black Fund. And those cars and groups that want to participate in the parade will be assembling at the St. Elizabeth campus by the Rise Center. So, in other words, the bands, the majorettes, the Girl Scouts, and all the respective groups that want to participate in the parade will attend there. Now, the way this event is set up, we will assemble the Peace Walk contingent, and we'll step off from the assembly area promptly at 11:30. We'll proceed up Martin Luther King Avenue, past St. Elizabeth, and once we pass the gate, the entrance at St. Elizabeth campus, the Peace Walk will keep going down King Avenue, but the parade processional will fall out, or will come behind us with the color guard and the Grand Marshal cars and all the likes, and the parade, the bands, the floats, and all of that. So it just promises just to be a great, great day as we highlight the single most important man with the single most important message in the second half of the 20th century, namely Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
That's right. So Keith, tell us a little bit about the history, because this is the ninth year, if I'm not mistaken, of the march, but there was another incarnation of it. Give us a little bit of the background of the march, you know, who were the founders, so on and so forth.
Okay, and that's an excellent way to start this discussion. We need to go back to the original parade, which was the brainchild of Calvin and Wilhelmina Rollock and Petey Green in the early 70s. The story goes they met at the Anacostia Big Chair and realized it was Nichols Avenue at that time, but realized they wanted to give a tribute to Dr. King. So that parade continued seamlessly for over three decades. However, in the year 2005, the parade committee decided to move the date of the parade to April in search for better weather. So at that time, the parade didn't properly notify people that the parade was canceled. So those, myself and those of like minds, we took the banner that year and the bullhorn, and we had a makeshift parade, and we just went down the street picking up people who were already gathered on the side, and we had our own special people's tribute to Dr. King that year. The following year, in 2006, Calvin Rollock's daughter, Denise Rollock, who is the publisher of the United Washington Informer newspaper, contacted me and wanted to know what we were doing this year. And I told her the same thing as last year. We're going to try our best to put on a tribute on this date, which was vacated and abandoned. So we came together along with Yango Sawyer and founded. It was the birth of the Peace Walk as we know it today. And from there, we started with modest beginnings. We had, 10, 15, 20 groups, what have you, the first couple of years of participating in the organization, and it just grew and grew. And then finally, that's where we're at today, at probably one of the largest events, certainly on the East Coast, on the Dr. King holiday. However, none of this could have took place without the participation of over 100 participating organizations and our sponsors. This has really been the wing beneath the wings of this, because each of the participating organizations, whether they have their executive director, the CEO, or what have you there, each one of these organizations are movers and shakers in their own right. And quite frankly, this has been a joyous experience for close to a decade now, because people of this stature have more or less left their egos at the door. And this is probably the single most collaborative effort you will find in this city happening today. It's no hidden agendas. We all get along well. And, you know, we try to match people's skill set with what they do. That's why we've been so successful. One of the reasons we've been successful, because we use a formula that is basically on committee or subcommittee structure. So whichever organization, they find their niche, they just take it and lead us in that effort, and then we meet weekly or biweekly or whatever the case is. And that's why we've been so successful, because we have a partnership with so many organizations.
Now, Keith, you know, a lot of people see kind of just the talking head kind of image of Dr. King, the I Have a Dream speech, which is powerful.
Yes.
But the man did a whole lot more than just the I Have a Dream speech. Tell us a little bit about the goals of the Peace March, because I think, you know, part of what, you know, Keith and I were talking before the show, and I think part of what, you know, given that there's 100 organizations that are supporting, that do organizing work to a certain extent, one way or another, throughout the city, it's to keep that legacy alive of you know, the drive behind Dr. King. Talk a little bit about that, the goals, and really what, you know, what the march is about.
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because the goals, I guess, could be narrowed down to maybe threefold. First and foremost, we want to highlight the life and ministry and contributions of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Earlier you stated, you know, you mentioned about his probably most well-known speech, I Have a Dream, but he was far more than a great speaker.
That's right.
He had strong administration skills, because you have to keep in mind that when he delivered that address, he was 33 years old in I Have a Dream in 1963, and he passed in when he was age 39. So a man of that age, outside of being a great speaker, I've always recognized he had strong administrative skills. And he certainly didn't have any self-esteem issues, because, say, for example, if he had a press conference to attend, if he could not make it, he had no problem dispatching staff with the full authority of the organization, meaning Andrew Young or Hosea Williams, Jesse Jackson or Ralph Abernathy, and the movement kept going on. But a lot of times, unfortunately, today's leadership, if we're not able to do a press conference, we just shut the whole event down and postpone all the activities until the principal person can do the press conference. And I think the community at large suffers under that type of narrow-mindedness. So I've come to learn and respect Dr. King, and his efforts are far more than just the I Have a Dream speech.
Yes. Now,
oh, if I may, I'm sorry.
Please.
Dan, I just went, but that was the first the goals of the Peace March is first and foremost to highlight the life and ministry and contributions of Dr. King. But secondly, I guess almost equally as important is what the intro song that Head Rock just led us in, joined an organization. And that's what we encourage people to join some type of organization and participate, because this has been the single most successful component of our effort. As I mentioned earlier, we have hundreds of close to 100 organizations with key movers and shakers, and we use this day to highlight those organizations, simply because most of the organizations have a shoestring, but quite frankly, in most cases, a no-string budget.
Right.
And of course, Empower knows that. And
oh, yeah.
But yet, this work goes on 365 days a year, 24/7. And so we use this Dr. King birthday as a springboard to launch all these organizations into the upcoming year. And finally, I probably the most important highlight is on the goals is that we try to use this day as a teaching instrument to encourage youth and young adults, and quite frankly, most of us older adults, to interject conflict resolution and nonviolence into our daily lives, so we can address the issue of violence in our community through peaceful means.
And I think that's so fitting, because as there was a police-related shooting right off MLK, that somebody was shot in a barbershop right there off MLK a couple of days ago. So I think that is key. So you mentioned that the parade has been around now in its present incarnation for about 9 years. How have you seen it change? How have you seen it grow?
Wow, I mean, it's just tremendous to see how it's grown, because you take from those modest beginnings and of the early planning meetings, it has grown, as I said, to over 100 participating organizations. But we've reached, quite frankly, some mountaintop heights. In the year 2013, we was recognized as the Obama administration official inaugural event. And that's, made a huge statement when you operating on people power and community power and, have limited or no funding at all. So I think, people know who we are, know what we're about. And it's no greater joy than having a young adult or somebody come up to you and say, "Hey, man, I appreciate all you've done. We participated in a peace walk 5-6 years ago." And then you see these people on the right track. It's just a great feeling, as you, of course, know with your organization.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what has been some of your highlights as you've seen it grow? I know there's, sometimes celebrities, politicians that are involved. Can you talk a little bit about that aspect of the march?
Well, we've been very fortunate. We've had some iconic figures over the years. Of course, we've had the living legends of the civil rights arena, namely the civil rights icon Dick Gregory. Of course, Washington, D.C.'s first congressman, Congressman Walter E. Fauntleroy, who was the movie Selma is out. But a little known fact is that the first Selma march was stopped on the bridge when Jose Williams and John Lewis and others were beaten back. The second Selma march ended in prayer, but the third successful march went through, and Walter Fauntleroy was summoned from Washington, D.C. by Dr. King, and Congressman Walter Fauntleroy served as the coordinator of the third and successful march. But it just was not Congressman Reverend Fauntleroy on his own. He, of course, all the other leading figures of the day, C.T. Vivian, Jose, everybody was involved. But D.C.'s own Walter Fauntleroy, kind of like stood head and shoulders above most of our local leadership then, because in fact outside of ministering here in Washington, D.C., he was going back and forth and heavily involved in the civil rights movement that advanced the cause of justice in America. And more importantly, when we deal with the issue of statehood here in Washington, D.C., Dr. King is our friend and brother. He came here many times at the response to Congressman Walter Fauntleroy's call to march for the D.C. Home Rule marches, which, as you know, was a forerunner of the D.C. Statehood March. So that's why we have to keep it going under our watch.
Wow. So what can folks do if they want to get involved? And we'll talk a little bit about this, but before we go into our break, how can folks get involved? I know the deadline for organizations to be involved have passed, but are there any volunteer opportunities that if folks want to help out the day of, what can they do?
Well, thank you so very much for that question. That is our single most need right now. Unfortunately, the deadline for participating organizations passed at the close of business at our last meeting last Saturday. We have one more meeting this upcoming Saturday, but the deadline is passed simply because we had to shut it off because we had to be in compliance with Homeland Security. They gave us a 27-page permit application for this process, and we had to cut it off at some point because one of the line items in our budget is we actually pay for the police escort during the parade. In other words, that's created a great financial need. Now, the peace walk component comes under the freedom of speech and information, rights. So we're not paying for police protection there, but the parade component, mm-hmm. we have to pay for the officers who do the rolling intersection thing, block the intersections,
right.
and keep things going. And it's just, so our single most important need, Daniel, I'm glad you asked, is still everybody can participate in a very real way. We have a extensive call out now for marshals. This is parade marshals, in other words, to help us with crowd control. This is very important because not only would they be intricately involved, but they would be serving a very basic need to help us. Well, it's several minor things. We don't ever anticipate any disturbances, but we need to keep in mind these marshals. We are not the police. MPD is the police.
That's right.
All we need is marshal. You know, sometimes that, you know, sometimes these marshals,
people get deputized.
Over enthused. You know what I'm
saying?
That's right. So we know that, but we want to emphasize we just need help with crowd control, mm-hmm. with the spacing of the lineup, because when we have all these peace groups, we need 3 to 5 spaces feet in between each group, as you know, so people can see their banners or see their groups and all like that, you know. So it's just basically, but that's definitely a key and vital need for what we have. So we have 2 opportunities. If you want to serve with the Peace Walk component, volunteers can show up at the United Black Fund at the assembly area at 8:30 a.m. And if you want to be a marshal for the parade contingent, you show up at 8:30 a.m. at the St. Elizabeth campus. And those are where we'll be having the cadre of marshals, and they will be given marshal armbands so they can be readily identified and all like that. But that's just a great opportunity for young people to really take a part in this. It'll be a magnificent experience.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for giving us that information. We're going to take a quick music break, but we'll be back to talk a little bit more. I think, Keith, I just want to talk to you about what does Dr. King mean for you personally, and, you know, the inspiration for you to keep doing this year in and year out. We're going to go to a track by an artist named George Perkins. The name of the song is Crying in the Streets, and it's a song that Mr. Perkins wrote after the assassination of Dr. King. It has a lot of meaning. I thought it would be a good song to play during today's show. So yeah, if we're ready, let's go to the song.
Somebody crying.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Taking Action here on WPFW 89.3 FM. We're joined in studio by Keith Silver, the co-chair of the MLK Peace March, which has been happening here in the District of Columbia for about close to a decade now, at least in its current incarnation. Folks, if anybody has comments or questions, please feel free to give us a call here in studio. You can reach us at 202-588-0893. Once again, the song we just heard was by George Perkins. It's called Crying in the Streets, which is a tribute to Dr. King and his memory. Keith, once again, thank you so much for being in studio, for giving us a little bit of the history of the MLK Peace March. But personally, and I should have done this at the top of the show, talk a little bit about your involvement, because you've been around for quite a bit. You've been involved and active in our community in different aspects. I know you've been an ANC commissioner. Tell us just a little bit about your activism here in the District of Columbia.
Well, thank you, Daniel. That, quite frankly, is probably the only subject I'm an expert on, who I am.
That's right.
You know, well, I guess it may be in 25 words or less, I humbly say and state I'm a native Washingtonian, which I'm very proud of, and a D.C. public graduate of Anacostia High School in Southeast. And I matriculated and graduated from Antioch School of Law, the paralegal class of 1978. And in the 80s and 90s probably was somewhat of a heyday for me, because I served on the national staff of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference under the Joseph Lowery administration. But I had a dual honor, believe it or not, with a very close friend of mine, Eddie Kendricks, was living in Atlanta at the time. And following the Temptation Reunion Tour in 1982, I served as Eddie's community assistant from 1982 to 1994 until he passed with lung cancer. Now, why that is important, I'm just briefly touch on. Eddie Kendricks was born in Birmingham, Alabama. Mm-hmm. So although he had the great singing ability and stagemanship, he grew up in Birmingham with Fred Shuttlesworth and watched the civil rights organizations come in and out of Birmingham. So that's why he was so very grounded in his adult years. And it really was a high point of my career to work for the number one civil rights organization at the time, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference National Office, and equally serving as with the number one Motown group, The Temptations and Eddie Kendricks, which as a young man growing up TV, that's what dictated our airways.
That was it.
Civil rights and Motown.
That's
that was
right.
It, man. So now, and then to round it off, I'm served as Washington, D.C. chapter president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference from 2007 to 2013, when I retired to spend more time with my four grandchildren. And as you mentioned, I'm a four-term ANC commissioner and the founder of the ML Peace Walk and co-chair of the parade, where that brings us up to date. But more importantly, what although all of us could somewhat rest on our laurels, that was yesterday. So quite frankly, I'm just living out today on what Dr. King had emphasized, that if it cast your lot to be a street sweeper, sweep streets like Michelangelo carved marble.
That's right.
And so that's where I'm at in my life right now, trying to be the best friend, the best neighbor I can for all I may come in contact with.
That's right. Well, thank you so much for that, Keith. What we try to do, you know, part of the goal of the show is for us to lift up, what we call the Chocolate City superheroes, folks, that are active, that work to make our city a better place. So thank you for your service. Thank you for working to make, DC an even better place. Keith, we've got a caller on the line. So let's actually take the, our first call, cause I think we've actually got two callers. But let's take the first call. Are we ready for the first caller? All right. Caller, are you on the air? Why don't you introduce yourself and give us your comment or question?
Hi, my name is Peggy Seat. I'm calling from the Washington Interdependence Council. We're the administrators of the Benjamin Banneker Memorial now, going into its 19th year, endeavoring to establish a world-class memorial to Benjamin Banneker. So I'm urged to call in to talk about the legacy of civil rights struggle, as I think many people often think of Banneker only as the person who helped survey and design the nation's capital, but in fact, he was also America's first black high-profile civil rights leader. He wrote a scathing letter to Thomas Jefferson back in 1791 saying, you know, what about the Declaration of Independence is fine, but what about blacks and Native Americans who are disenfranchised? And very little has changed in over 200 years, it seems, relative to that. But I would call in at the urging of Ms. Anise Jenkins, and I want to commend her for her continued struggle in the advocacy for statehood for the nation's capital, which I'm sure will become a reality soon, and look forward to participating in this march. Thank you.
Thank you so much, caller. You bring up some crucial points, so we thank you so much. Thank you for joining. We have another caller on the line. Caller, do you want to introduce yourself and give us your comment or question?
Yes, I'm Yango Sawyer.
How are you doing, Mr. Sawyer?
Best friend of one of the best friends of Brother Keith Silver. I'd just commend him for his longevity and persistence and consistency in terms of struggle for the liberation of our people, you know, and particularly with the peace walk and keeping the voice and dream of Dr. King alive, you know. And so Keith is one of a kind. He's an awesome brother.
That's right.
And I'd just like to tell folks, man, there's a series of activities happening during this week for Dr. King's birthday. There's an activity happening at Busboys and Ports Wednesday night. There's another activity happening. I just can't, you know, pull it in. And this coming Saturday from 12 to 3 at the Rise in Gateway, D.C., in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King, we're doing a tribute to the Honorable Marion Barr, Voices Unheard. And we just want to encourage folks, you know, to come out to those activities because it's building to probably the baddest peace walk and parade that's taken place in this city in the last 9 years. All of them been great, but this year there's a combination of it. And when I look at a brother like Keith Silvers, Sister Denise Roller Barnes, and Brother Stu Anderson, and Wasita McKenzie, and Tyrone Park, and a number of other folks, man, whose names I just can't snatch off the top of my head, you know, who's making it possible for this great event to happen. And so we just want to encourage folks, man, to come out. And that right, Steve, we want to see, man, 10,000 folks this coming Monday, man, to celebrate the legacy, man, of Dr. Martin Luther King. And the theme that, this year is looking back, moving forward together. That means we want to bring the community together in terms of addressing violence in our community and those kind of issues that Dr. King would address if he was alive today. And Keith, I want to say, man, I love you, man. You're one of the baddest brothers, you and Brother Dick Gregory, man, partners, man. Y'all are like one of a kind.
That's right. There's no one else like Mr. Silver. So thank you, Yango, for your call. We really do appreciate. We appreciate your work. I know you're heavily involved in this and many other issues around the District of Columbia. So we thank you, Keith. I don't know if you want to respond to Yango's comments.
Well, yes, I do want to pause, and then because as I mentioned from the outset, Yango, Brother Yango, was there from day one. It's one of the founders along with Denise and I, but his kind of work precedes him. He's been a living testament of what God can do. And then secondly, he's a living testament as to what peace can do in your life. So he's always out on the battlegrounds. And quite frankly, some of the neighborhoods I wouldn't even go into not unless I had Yango with me, because he's legitimately highly respected in our inner city communities.
Well, thank you. And we have another caller on the line, but before we take that call, let's give once again, let's plug the event quickly, just so folks who are tuning in know when the event is taking place and where they should meet up, and even who they should contact if they have any questions.
Again, we have two assembly areas. The first area you can join us at is across street from the Anacostia train station. You can join us at the assembly area on the grounds of United Black Fund, located at 2500 Martin Luther King Avenue. We'll assemble there from 8:30, where we'll have an array of speakers, and we will step off promptly between 11:15 and 11:30. 11:30, we hitting the road, because we it's a timing factor to get up the hill to get to the second location, which will be on the grounds of St. Elizabeth campus. So those wanting to start out with the parade contingent, meaning if you got cars or floats or a car in the parade, you should report to the St. Elizabeth campus at 8:30, And then once the Peace Walk March passes St. Elizabeth, then the parade procession will fall in behind there with the color guard and all like that. Now, this is key and important for people that's going to the parade location. You cannot come in the Martin Luther King Gate. You have to come around the backside through the Congress Heights train station. It's an entrance there where vehicles would come in because we can't afford to have that driveway blocked. Because that's the Martin Luther King entrance is that. It's the exit we're going to use to come out to follow the Peace Walk. So all cars or participants must enter the Congress Heights thing.
And if folks have questions, if they want to reach out to you, how can they reach you?
Well, our headquarters and our office is located at the Washington Informer newspaper. That number is 202-561-4100. And the operator, well, you just identify you want the Martin Luther King Parade Peace Walk extension, and they'll connect you, and someone will have a live person to answer the phone to answer any question you may have, or if by chance it goes to a recording, we immediately will respond and get right back to you.
Great. And yeah, just a note, you know, as Empower DC, we've been there for several years. We think it's a great event. For us, it's an opportunity to reach folks on the streets. You know, we plan on being there. We plan on being there to talk about what's going on right up the street from where the parade starts. At Berry Farms, we're doing some work around there. You know, what's also interesting to note is they're developing St. Elizabeth. So, you know, this is a crucial year for Ward 8 and what's to happen. And we definitely need to continue uplifting the legacy of Dr. King in organizing to make sure that our most vulnerable folks get what they deserve and need. We have another caller on the line. Caller, are you on the air? If you are, please introduce yourself and give us your comment or question.
Yes, my name is Wayne Hill, and I want to thank Keith for the long, long, dedicated time that he's always presented and everything that he's done. Long-time friend, also a neighbor from back in the neighborhood back in the day. Keith, you've been doing a great job. Keep it up.
Appreciate it, sir. Thank you there, Wayne. Appreciate it, sir. God bless you. To you and the Hill family.
Okay. You and yours, man.
Thank you, great. Sir. All right.
Yeah. Thank you so much, callers. We really do appreciate, you know, you guys just reaching out to us, and definitely, you know, Keith is a big player. I look up to Keith Silver. I think he's a great person. I've learned a lot from him. He's been supportive of Empower DC. So, Keith, you know that you're loved by many.
Thank you, sir.
So, you know, as we're getting into this, just talk a little bit, Keith, about what Dr. King means to you personally. Obviously, you know, you work for your community, you're active. You know, what's that tie-in right there?
Well, I guess, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I've just spent my younger years trying to strive, you know, to do the best I can, but in sort of on the backside of the mountain now, I realize that the best thing you can do is try to help youth and young adults with try to modify their behavior and get the benefit of the wisdom that you may have gained. And here again, I have to give praise and honor to all the participating organizations. I hate to jump out there and call any names or any organizations because I know for a fact I'm going to miss someone. But you can go on our website and hit participating organizations and see all the organizations. I mean, Daniel, I've been around for a little while, but this by far probably ranks as one of the most collaborative experiences I have ever had at any juncture in my life, because when you go down that list of participating organizations, you will see such powerful organizations listed there, and they have all served in some capacity, either committee, subcommittee, or in their own right have done this. So I guess to summarize, I think that we all, in our own way, have been trying to keep Dr. King's vision alive. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank everybody that have made this event so successful for close to a decade now.
That's right. Well, we have another caller on the line. Caller, if you're there, why don't you introduce yourself and give us your comment or question?
Oh, my name is Denise Jenkins, and I just want to say that I am so excited and looking forward to this march. This is a continuation of the celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King. There's all praise. And I definitely want to mention Keith Silver, Denise Rollard-Bond, Django Sawyer, who kept this thing going.
That's right.
It had just ended. I remember going to the parade with my banner, with Miss Lori Murray, a mentor, and there was no parade.
Yeah.
But they kept going, and they deserve all the praise. It's so exciting. I hope everybody will come out to celebrate.
That's right. Thank you so much for your call. And, I mean, you hit it right on the head. You know, we've got to recognize these folks that continue to uplift our city, continue working to make it a great place. I know I keep saying that, but to me, that's, you know, that's really one of the goals of our show, is to really uplift the real folks that, you know, aren't doing this for a big paycheck, aren't doing this to get on TV, are doing it to keep making our city great. We have another caller on the line. Keith, you got a lot of fans. We got a bunch of calls today. Caller, do you want to introduce yourself and give us your question or comment?
Yes, hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Yes, my name is Ron Moulton, and I just want to say that I thank Keith and Ms. Rolock and Yango and Mr. Stewart and everybody who's made this what I think is going to be one of the biggest marches ever. And at a time when we need to pull our community together,
that's right.
I'm just happy to be a part of something that's pulling the community together for a change. And I've seen some people come together in Ward 8 that I haven't seen come together in a long time to make this march what I think is going to be the best one ever. And also, just want to announce that we're going to be doing something big the first time ever. We're going to have a go-go float in where the Junkyard Band will be performing live. And we're going to show people how classy go-go can be. And they came from Ward 8, from Berry Farm.
That's right.
You know, so we're going to be, you know, showing the city what D.C.'s culture is all about in the name of peace and love. And just thank you all for what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you for your call, Ron. We really do appreciate it. I'm looking forward to that JYB call. Oh, we got one more caller on the air, and I think we both know this person, Keith.
Okay.
You want to go ahead and introduce yourself, caller, and give us your comment or question?
Hey, Keith. Hey, Daniel. Hey, Mike, engineer. Hey, PFW family. It's Sky from Empower DC.
Wow.
And I just wanted to call in to really thank Keith for, you know, organizing this event. We participated in it for the last few years, and it really gives you a sense of pride. You know, we had a public housing contingent, and people were just proud to be holding up the names of their properties and saying that they're fighting for their housing, which is one of the main things that MLK was fighting for, was for decent housing for the poor. And I just want to thank you very much, and I'm calling all Ward 8 residents out, all the old Ward 8 residents, to come together. Ward 8 is the final frontier. They're trying to take it from us, and this should be the biggest parade ever, because MLK did really fight to keep our communities together and for the rights of the poor. So let's all come together and make this a big bang.
Thank you, Sky. And not to put you on the spot, but I know we are going to be there. Just talk a little bit about what we're going to be doing there as Empower DC.
So we do definitely march in the MLK Peace Parade, and for all people out there, for our supporters, we'll be there. We'll be marching for housing, for schools, and we'll be meeting down at the United Black Fund. Keith said, I think you said 11:30, right?
Oh, well, we step off at 11:30, but the assembly times is at 8:30, and we encourage you to be there because we allow speakers from different organizations to speak during that assembly period also.
Yes, and we will be meeting up there. We'll be having, just look for the Empower DC signs, and we'll be marching to keep our public housing, a housing for our people who need it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your call, Sky.
Thanks so much, Keith, for all you do.
And thank you. It's particularly important that all the work that Empower does around the city, but they're most notably in 500 yards from the assembly area. Empower is very active in the Berry Farm community. Last year, they participated and organized the Berry Farm community. And certainly this year, with the new communities project on the way, they're still advocating to make sure these people are properly placed. So I think we all need to pause and applaud Empower DC for the work you do collectively around the city. And then our last caller, Mr. Moulton, Ron Moulton, quite frankly, in his own right, is somewhat legendary modern day, because he puts some substance to what he does. He's done a tremendous job with the how they going to get a band on a flatbed. I need to know.
But I know. That's some real JYB stuff right
there. That's
right.
But I know that's the way they roll, so I know that's going to happen, and that's going to be just a big kick for the young adults and some of us older adults to see the band playing and how classy go-go can be. So thank you all.
Yeah. So, Keith, I know we're actually running a little short on time, but we did want to lift up some of the Grand Marshals, some of the folks that will be involved. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Wow, and this probably might be one of the highlights and one of the features of the whole event, because when you started off, we addressed, made a brief comment about the housing situation in this city. But one of our Grand Marshals is Miss Rashima Melson, the young lady, the valedictorian from Anacostia High School. Quite frankly, she navigated through all kinds of obstacles.
That's right.
Most notably, homelessness, and was, in fact, at the D.C. General Shelter. It's my understanding her family was there.
Yeah.
So she is a living example and a modern-day role model for young adults of what the power of God can do and what Dr. King had preached about. Secondly, another Grand Marshal will be Mr. Eugene Brown. He's sort of the chess king who grew up around the Anacostia Big Chair, and it currently has a movie out portraying his great achievements. And I just found out today the name of the movie is Life of a King, so we want to encourage everyone to see that movie outlining the life of our Grand Marshal, Eugene Brown. And the other mascot is somebody who I personally want to see. It's the Washington Nationals mascot. Have we all seen those four presidents that
right.
you know, run down the sideline in the
heads.
Seventh inning? Yeah, we got George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt, and another one. But I'm personally sending an invitation out to the Teddy Roosevelt mascot that I'm going to challenge him to a 50-yard dash. Because last time I ran against him, he got a five-second head start. He took off while I was tying my shoe. So I'm looking for the Teddy Roosevelt
puppet. So if you come for anything, come for that. Come
yeah.
for the race. So, Keith, as we wrap up, just give us one more time the details for the march and how folks can get in contact and what time they should show up.
Okay, here again, it will be two assembly areas. The first area will be for the Peace Walk contingent. You're to join us at the assembly area at 8:30 a.m. on the grounds of the United Black Fund, where Barry Lenore is the third president, 2500 Martin Luther King Avenue in the grassy knoll area right outside UBF. We will assemble there from 8:30 to 11 with speakers and different activities, and then we will promptly step off at 11:30 promptly and head up Martin Luther King to the second assembly area where the Peace Parade contingent will be organizing the bands, the floats, the color guards, and all the majorettes and the Girl Scouts and all like that will be assembling simultaneously up there. And once the parade Peace Walk contingent passes the St. Elizabeth campus, the parade contingent will come out behind us and go down. We'll continue down Martin Luther King till we get to Covenant Baptist Church and make a right there around 300 yards down. The reviewing stand will be in front of Living Word Church, where Sam Ford and Justine Love is one of our Grand Marshals over. Also, that was an oversight on my part. And they will be emceeing the program, and we have some corporate sponsors and elected officials will be speaking from there. And then the parade will keep going past the reviewing stand. After the bands and the groups do their thing in front of the reviewing stand, then they'll continue several more blocks to Lecky School, where everybody can disband, because that's where the vehicles and the crowd can disband properly at there. So, again, the single most important thing, if I could summarize in 25 words or less, oftentimes we don't get a chance to say thank you to people. I'm not going to risk calling names, but it's very important. And en route here, our very esteemed co-chair, Denise Rolock Barnes, we want to personally thank her, but I agree with her. It's no greater VIPs on that day than 100 participating organizations, because that is the wing beneath the wings. And make no mistake about it, it's no point person, nobody in charge. It's 100 organizations that make this thing work. So, you know, I try to, you know, make sure every chance we get, we have to highlight these organizations, and it's been an honor to be in their company.
Well, thank you so much, Keith. Thank you so much for making the time to join us today to let us know about this important event that happens every year. We're coming up on 10 years of this event. Thank you so much for your service to our city. We really do appreciate it. And I encourage folks to go out. It's a fun day. There's a lot to do. meet other folks, and you know, just continue this legacy of organizing and fighting for our rights alive. One last thing before we break, I do want to plug one event, a lead-up event to the march that's happening at Plymouth Congregational United Church of Christ. It's taking place on Sunday, January 18th at 11 a.m. There's going to be Dr. MLK Jr. birthday church service. They have a special guest speaker, which is Jaziri X. So folks should look up that information. Thank you once again, folks, for tuning in. Thank you for our callers. Really, really do appreciate it. Thank you, Keith Silver. Folks, thank you for tuning in, and we will talk to you all next Tuesday. Thank you so much.
Change your situation. You better join an organization.
If you want to change your situation, you better
join an organization.
If you want to change your situation, you better
join an organization.
Check it. Hey, the story of America is labor. If you don't know the truth, lies will enslave ya. Beware of aristocratic behavior. Use proletarian flavor and tell your neighbor. Hey, I think the boss is up to no good. Hey, hey, the boss is up to no good. Hey, 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 the boss is no damn good. Hey, 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 it's time to organize. 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 Hey, 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 it's time to organize.
This is WPFW News. I'm Askia Muhammad, in for Gloria Minot. Here are some headlines at the 2 o'clock hour. The National Transportation Safety Board says it will examine the Yellow Line train that stopped in a tunnel near L'Enfant Plaza Metro Station after an electrical malfunction filled the station with smoke. An NTSB spokesman says an electrical arcing involving the high-voltage third rail led the train to stop. One person died and dozens of others were taken to local hospitals. A New Mexico prosecutor has filed murder charges against two police officers for the killing of a mentally ill homeless man, which ignited protests against the Albuquerque Police Department. The officers, Keith Sandy and Dominique Perez, will now face a public preliminary hearing before a judge for the killing of James Boyd last month. Boyd had been confronted by police for sleeping in an unauthorized campsite. Police say he was armed with knives, but video from a police helmet camera shows Boyd apparently agreeing to surrender and turning away to pick up his belongings before officers fired a flashbang grenade, released a dog on him, and opened fire. At a news conference, Bernalillo County District Attorney Kerry Bradenburg said proceedings against the officers would be more transparent than the secret grand juries in other states, which declined to indict the officers who killed Michael Brown and Eric Garner.
Unlike Ferguson and unlike in New York City, you know, some recent high-profile cases, we're going to know. The public's going to have that information. You all are going to have seen the witnesses, heard the argument, and you'll understand, hopefully, perhaps, why the judge made the decision that he or she made.
Albuquerque police have been involved in more than 40 shootings since 2010, 27 of them fatal. Last year, a scathing Justice Department probe found most of the department's fatal shootings were unconstitutional. It is the first time Albuquerque police involved in a shooting have faced murder charges. In New York City, a new report has found police have continued to use chokeholds like the one used against Eric Garner, even though they have been banned for more than 20 years. The report by the NYPD Inspector General looked at 10 cases of banned chokeholds over the past 5 years. While a review board recommended the highest levels of punishment in 9 of the cases, the most officers ever faced was the loss of vacation days. Muslim groups and scholars in France and elsewhere voiced concerns today that a satirical newspaper's first cover since the attack on its journalists last week could ignite dangerous new passions in a debate pitting free speech against religious doctrine. Egypt's leading Islamic authority, warned that the new cartoon depicting the Prophet Muhammad would exacerbate tensions between the secular West and observant Muslims. Death threats circulated online against the surviving staff members of the newspaper, Charlie Hebdo. The offices of the newspaper were attacked last Wednesday in apparent retaliation for routinely publishing cartoons lampooning Muhammad. Some interpretations of Islamic law forbid images of the Prophet. Survivors of the attack had said they would proceed with their next issue and again depict Muhammad. The cover of the new issue, already widely seen on the internet, will be published Wednesday in a print run of up to 3 million copies in 16 languages, compared with a typical run of 60,000 copies. It shows Muhammad displaying the slogan that has become the symbol of resistance to the militants, Je suis Charlie, or I am Charlie. He is shown weeping under a headline that reads, quote, "All is forgiven." Sunny this afternoon, temperatures in the 30s, cloudy tonight, lows in the low